Alleluia, Christ is risen. The last few weeks of Easter are preparatory in nature and in their emphasis. Every year we hear these parts of Jesus' upper room discourse in which he prepares his disciples for what life will be like whenever he ascends. And here he is getting them ready, not for life apart from his abiding presence, but for the life of faith that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, who would be poured out on Pentecost. Here, Jesus is pruning his followers. He is preparing them, getting them ready to go out into the world, fully connected to him as their risen and ascended Lord, and ready to bring forth an abundant harvest, proving that Jesus is Lord and that he is alive and at work in the life of his church. Now, here at our church, we've been doing a little bit of pruning of our own. If you haven't noticed yet, go ahead and take a look at the back wall. You'll see something different. Steve Schultz and James Leffers came up this week, and they took a chunk out of those metal racks just to see if they could. Well, they were successful, but they were experimenting. They were getting a feel for what it would take to get those big, ugly racks out of here. And turns out you can do it. We're going to have to do it piece by piece. It's going to be a lot of work, as pruning always is, but we'll get them out of here. So if for some reason you are married to those racks, or you cannot see yourself living without them, you'll have several weeks here to say your goodbyes, get them in now. But once we get them out, that will enable us to push these chairs back a little bit and have a little bit of more space in here so that, you know, I'm not right on top of you. And who knows, maybe we'll get a little bit more use out of the front row. I know that's a novel concept. But those racks, they are just one little piece. They represent a master plan that we have in mind for this place. And so as things develop this year on that front, I'll keep you informed. But basically, we want to keep making improvements to this space as much as we can within our means. You know how it is sometimes whenever you move into a new house and it takes several months, or for some of us several years, to make it feel like it's your home, right? It takes a while to get stuff on the walls, to get everything, all the furniture in the right order, and to get everything out of the boxes. Well, that's kind of still where we're at. We moved into this space in 2021, and there was a lot of work that went into making this look like it looks right now. It was just a garage. But we've got a lot that we want to do here to continue to improve the space. God has given us this place, and we want to be good stewards of what we've been given. Now, if all we had was an open field and a little tin roof over our heads, we would give thanks and praise to God. But we have so much more, don't we? We've got this building, we've got this property, and the goal isn't to make these preparations just for their own sake. The goal is to be good stewards, to build and to improve, to prune in such a way that reflects what we actually believe. Do we want a nice worship space so that we can demonstrate hospitality to guests and visitors? Sure we do. Do we want something that we can come into that's easy on the eyes every Sunday? Yep, we absolutely do. But those aren't the main reasons. The main reason that we want to beautify this space is because this is God's house. And whenever we come together in this place, something special happens. Right now. Here, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus comes to us through his living word to nourish us and to keep us connected to him. That's what happens here. In our gospel reading from John chapter 15, Jesus calls himself the true vine, with his Father being the vine dresser and his disciples being the branches. This describes the relationship between Jesus and his people, Christ and his church. He is the source of the new life. He is the source of the abundant life of the heavenly gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation. All these gifts imparted by the word that he speaks, all of which are received by faith as the Holy Spirit creates and sustains faith through that same word. Wherever the word of Christ is preached, there is sustenance. Wherever the word of Christ is preached, there is the Holy Spirit creating and sustaining faith, imparting eternal life. Wherever Jesus' word is preached, read, heard, and prayed, there you have Jesus' disciples drawing life from him as vessels of the Spirit, ready to bring forth an abundance of the good works which flow from faith. But there are also, according to our text, dead branches. These dead branches do not bear fruit. How can they? They're dead. They refuse to draw life from the vine, and they are just waiting to be broken off. Now, in the context in which Jesus is speaking here, think of Judas. He was externally connected to Jesus, identified himself as a disciple, and yet he was a dead branch. But this is what the heavenly vine dresser does. He breaks off dead branches, he gathers them, and then tosses them into the fire, because that's the only thing that you can do with a dead branch. I've got several that I cut from my oaks in my yard a couple weeks ago, and there's a bunch of them that I haven't gotten around to burning just yet, but I will. And I can tell you that they are not doing anything. They are not doing anything fruitful. They aren't pretty to look at, nor do they have any hope of bringing forth anything worthwhile. No flowers, no fruits. You can't hang a swing from them. Can't do anything with them. Now, when a branch fails to bring forth fruit, and when they die, this is not the fault of the vine dresser. You know this from any plant that you've ever tended to. Sometimes branches just die. And the vine dresser does what he does. He clears away the dead stuff, and he even prunes the stuff that's alive to ensure that it continues to stay healthy and produce. Nor is it the fault of the vine whenever the branch does not bring forth fruit and when the branch dies. The vine only does what it does. It gives abundant life, which it has in itself. And it has more than enough to source all the branches that are connected to it and produce a 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest that greatly pleases the vine dresser. This is the true and living vine which the vine dresser has planted, and any branch that draws life from this vine and continues to draw life from this vine will bear fruit. Now, this metaphor that Jesus uses in John's gospel is critical for understanding the Christian life. If we understand what Jesus is saying, then it makes a whole lot of sense of why we do the things that we do as a church. Why be baptized? Because this is how the vine dresser connects us to the living vine. Through water combined with God's word, we are grafted in. You can say that we are pruned, we are cleansed, given the circumcision made without hands by putting off the flesh. Why prioritize hearing the word preached? Because this is how the vine, the true vine, imparts to us life, as the words that he speaks are spirit and life. Why confess our sins? Because this is how the vine dresser prunes us. He cuts us with his word of law. He prompts us to cry out to him for mercy, and he heals us with the soothing words of the gospel. In the absolution, your sins are forgiven. Why eat his body and drink his blood? Because this is how we remain connected to the vine. This is how we abide in him and he in us. Now, how do we make a mess of the metaphor? How do we misunderstand what Jesus is saying? Well, the first error that we can make is in thinking that the fruit is what gives life to the branch. The fruit is what gives life to the branch. That's a mistake. Yes, the fruit is the good stuff. The fruit is juicy and sweet. But the fruit cannot supply life to the branch because it does not have life in itself, but is simply a product of the life that is imparted to the branch from the vine. You can look at a branch full of fruit and you can say, that branch right there is alive. But you would never say, that fruit right there is giving that branch life. You would obviously know that the branch is kept alive by the plant itself. The fruit does not make it alive, but the fruit indicates that that thing is alive. But we get this mixed up so often. We know how this works, but whenever it comes to our relationship with Christ, that's the error that we often make. It occurs quite often that I'll be talking with someone who is, you know, who maybe has some vestige of a Christian faith, but they're not connected to a church or anything like that. And this has happened a few times, but when they find out I'm a pastor, if they still want to talk to me at that point, they will almost always want to talk about what? Their fruits. They want to talk about what they've done for God, like in a past life or something. They want to talk about their love for God. Now, don't get me wrong. That's all good stuff. Those are good fruits. But that isn't what makes you alive. Your love for God is not what makes you a branch. That's the fruit. That's not what makes you what you are. Love the Lord your God is law, not gospel. The gospel, Christ crucified for you, the giving of the true vine into death to make you his own. That's what makes you a Christian, not the fruit that follows. That's why you attend church. Because outside of the church, you don't have a gospel being preached to you. You only have the law. And if you stay away from the preached gospel long enough, you'll start to believe that you are saved by the fruits that you produce. It's inevitable. And the second way that we make a mess of the metaphor is by misunderstanding our relationship to the vine, namely, our dependence upon him. We know how the text goes. We know what Jesus says. He says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. Somehow we get this mixed up by thinking that somehow we are the vine. That we have life in ourselves, that we can go out and bear fruit on our own. And rather than trusting Jesus when he says that it is through his word that we abide in him and he in us, that it is through the word that we are made clean and connected to him, that it is through the word that we are given true and abundant life from which we bring forth the fruits of faith, we run to anything but his word to give us life. When we neglect to hear God's word, when we keep our Bibles shut, when we make time for everything else in our lives, we are confessing that we are not sustained by Jesus' words, but by everything else. But Jesus' gracious reminder to you today is that you are made a branch. Not because of the fruit that you bear, but because of the word that he has spoken to you, which has pruned you, which has made you clean. Jesus, the true and living vine, was planted in this world by his Father, the vine dresser. And just as a vine gives life to the world, so Jesus did by going to the cross for us. There upon that tree of wood was our Savior, the living vine, who poured out all of his blood, who poured out his own life so that you would not be left to perish with the rest of the world. He bled and died and rose again so that he would call you by the gospel, so that he would gather you to himself. And he has gathered you not to be burned like a dead branch, but to be connected to him, to hear his words as he abides in you and you in him. The invitation from our text today is not to go and bear fruit. The invitation is to stay close to Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me. He says, remain in me. Stay in me. He doesn't tell his disciples to go and bear fruit. He tells them that they will. They will prove to be his disciples because fruit is inevitable when you abide in Jesus. You are in Christ. You are baptized. You've heard the word which he has spoken to you today. You are made clean. Your sins forgiven. Your relationship with the vine renewed, restored. And you continue to hear his word, to read it, to pray it, to draw eternal life from it. You go where Jesus is. You stay there, and you let him do what he does, prune you with the law, and give you abundant life through the gospel, which he speaks to you. Yes, Jesus does do something special in this place. It may not look like much yet, but we'll get there. We'll make some improvements around here, some improvements that actually reflect what we believe in our confession, that Jesus does do something special in this place. He comes to us through the living word. He nourishes us with his own life. He gives us our very identity. He is the vine. We are the branches. You've been made clean. You've been pruned by the word he has spoken to you. And like the disciples in the upper room, he is preparing you not only for life in this world, but ultimately for the life of the world to come. That eternal life that he has promised all who are alive in him, the eternal life that he has promised you. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.